Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. In this episode, the new commuter hotspots, where buyers are happy to contemplate a longer commute in return for quality of life and beautiful homes. People leaving London for more green space and a more relaxed vibe used to specify a location that was an hour door-to-door. During the pandemic, when the desire for more space turned into a race, buyers were willing to contemplate a place two or more hours away, believing that working life had changed forever. But for many, it didn't, and most workers are back in offices 3 or 4 days a week. This means that the spotlight has turned to those areas where the commute is longer but feasible, since the trains are more frequent. These places must have great schools, green spaces, handsome architecture, and thriving town centres. And let's not forget culture, fine dining, and independent coffee shops. In this episode, we're going to be talking about those locations, but also focusing on the ultimate longer commute destination, Bath, the Somerset city whose glorious squares are known globally through the Netflix series Bridgerton and films and TV adaptations of Jane Austen's novels. To explore this key new property market trend, I'm joined by Dominic Agace, Chief Executive of Winkworth, and by Matthew Leonard of Winkworth Bath. Welcome to you both. First to you, Dominic. It is a truth universally acknowledged that buyers' preferences will shift. New hotspots emerge and already preeminent locations become even more desirable. Can you tell us how the ability to work 3 or 4 days a week in the office is turning the focus on areas that didn't seem feasible not so long ago?
I think it's been fantastic for a lot of people. It's extended the commuter time slot from, you know, sub 1 hour, as you were saying, to up to 2 hours, really, which brings a huge amount more of the country into view. I think you have to look at it as you have your weekly budget of hours you're prepared to spend travelling. And if you're only travelling for 3 days of the week, then clearly you can spend more of them per day and have the same feeling of satisfaction, happiness, the lifestyle you're leading. So it's been a bit of a revolution, as you say. People went quite long initially and felt that there was an extreme change, and I think we're settling down at a lot of people doing, as you say, doing the 3 to 4 days a week, some sort of two, and that enabling them to live in places of outstanding beauty and bring up their families in those areas. So it's been a really positive change for a lot of families.
So it's have laptop, we'll travel.
Yes, digital nomad within the English countryside.
Now, we're going to be talking about Bath in this episode, but can you give us some other names that come into this new category?
Yeah, certainly. I suppose they all seem to fall out around an hour and a half. I mean, we've got a new office opening in Leamington Spa, a sort of beautiful place, huge variety of properties from your sort of £4 million to your sort of £300,000-£400,000. So there's everything you could look for with great, fantastic architecture and countryside around you. So there's Norwich, which is now particularly interesting. Great schools. Again, you sort of get an hour and a half train. You're into wonderful Norfolk countryside, and property prices there are, I've always felt surprisingly affordable compared to other parts of the country with that access to London. Perhaps that's related to, the way London's grown, which has sort of been westwards. So, and with the development of the Olympics and East London, then I think, that's an area of the country that's opening up. And for an hour and a half, you can hop on your train to Norwich and have a very different life when you get home.
Any other places you can cite?
Certainly. I think the other trendy spot at the moment would be Castle Carey, perhaps, with the Newt just around the corner. So that's probably at the outer reaches of your it's up to 2 hours as a commute. but you've seen a huge increase in activity there. I think it's saying sort of 45% more footfall going through that station than there was pre-pandemic. So you can see how the demand in the car park of that station has filled up post-pandemic and the new way of working. So the other area would be somewhere like Brockenhurst, again, sort of within that two-hour zone. You sort of launch yourself into the New Forest and an area of outstanding natural beauty. These are always been popular areas, but they haven't really been, you know, they're not commutable with, you know, for many. Some people were prepared to do it, but many weren't. So they've suddenly been opened up. And I think what you'll see is that as they become more popular, you know, those prices that have matching London in the sort of sub-hour one commute, you know, they will start to catch up with those as people look further afield for their home.
Now, we know that the government is definitely going ahead, or so it seems, with the plan to impose VAT on school fees. Do you think that that policy will enhance further the attraction of some of these places that are a longer commute? Because they tend to have great schools, don't they?
I think they do have fantastic schools, and they've also got the outdoor space that, you know, you want your children to run around in. And I think there'll be a number of certain size of people that perhaps were sending their children to private schools outside of London but living in London that may not be able to afford the increase. And so we'll be looking to replicate the experience. So the best way to do that is to move to these locations where, you know, there are fields for the young ones to run around in. So I think that will have an impact as well. I think you're seeing people looking at all those decisions now.
Now, I know we're itching to start our tour of Bath. I certainly am. But I'd just like to dwell for a little bit longer on the whole issue of VAT on school fees. How is it influencing buyers' choices in London? Are they driving up the prices of homes in streets which are in the catchment area of great or outstanding state schools?
Yeah, I think it's starting now, isn't it? But there was never, you know, the certainty is pretty much there. Now we've got our new government. And so that is going to happen. And I think what you've seen in the build-up is a small element of what is going to happen going forward. And you've started to see downsizing. You know, that's people releasing some funds so they can perhaps cover the increased costs. But you've also seen people choose perhaps slightly different areas. So when they're downsizing or when they're buying their family house, that choice perhaps may not be what it was a year ago. So, you know, the same area, maybe you may choose to live in the same area, you may choose to live in Fulham, but instead of going for the premium streets in Fulham, people are reining their budgets in a bit to ensure that they can afford, you know, the increases as well as the family home. So they'll do that or move to another area where it's slightly cheaper and they can have the same space. Or, as we said, go to the country where they bypass the private schools and still have the same experience for their children with the sort of outdoor space that they're maybe aspiring to through private school.
Tell me if I'm wrong here, but do I get a sense from what you've said that having a great state primary or a great state secondary very close to your house isn't necessarily driving up the price in the way one would imagine?
I think it will. I think there's always a premium, but I think it hasn't. You know, the people that are within the system will fight to stay within the system, because no one wants to, you know, break up a child's education and pull them out of a school if at all they can avoid it. So, you know, that is what a lot of people so far have been aligning themselves to do, which is to try and ensure they can keep their child on that journey and through the school to the end. There's a whole other group of people, though, that, you know, are looking at those choices. And, you know, when they're looking at those choices, they will be now weighing it up and very much going for the areas where they can get into the best Ofsted rated schools possible, that that the money can buy them, really. If the money's not enough for private school, then perhaps it's enough for a house in the right catchment area. And so, you know, what you will see, unfortunately, is it will squeeze people, you know, out of those areas, really. And it won't bring perhaps, you know, it has its own issues, shall we say. The fact that more people will be fighting for the streets in the catchment areas of the state schools will have its own issues for those that are previously in that catchment area going to state school.
Do you sense that the same may happen in the areas that we're talking about, the areas with a longer commute, that Londoners leaving London with a big budget will drive up the prices in these currently more affordable locations?
Yes, I think it'd be fair to say that those areas you would expect to see significant price growth in as people push to get into the schools. I think, as we sort of say, the general pattern is perhaps the more luxury end of the market. So perhaps the Surrey commuter belt, which is already, you know, on a par with London, may prove slightly less popular. So where one gained, one may lose a little. So I think it's an interesting changing dynamic, all driven really by changes to private schools, or proposed changes to private schools, I should say.
Well, we shall wait and see on that one. Now, over to you, Matthew. Bath, that glorious Georgian city, is familiar to millions through the numerous TV and film dramas that have got it as its backdrop. But I think we'd still like a quick tour. What are the advantages of living there, and would you live anywhere else?
I think the first answer to that is no, wouldn't live anywhere else. My family and I are very happy there, and it provides a fantastic location for bringing up a family. It's got so many things going for it. Obviously, you've got the countryside literally on your doorstep. Fantastic schools, as you've already discussed, which is a big pull, and that has probably been quite a big reason for people moving down to the area. The shopping's very well renowned. Architecture obviously goes without saying. It's outstanding Georgian architecture, also an awful lot of Victorian as well. And it's a very safe place. The crime rate's very low. Not many police because they're not really required. But you wouldn't think twice about letting your kids go out and play in the park without any concerns whatsoever. You've obviously got a couple of universities in the town who are both thriving. Bath University itself, very highly rated. I think it comes in first or second in the country for sport. There's a variety of festivals. We have a food festival, comedy festival. There's art and music festivals. And it's also incredibly well situated for access to London, Wales, Devon and Cornwall, Bristol, all easily by rail. So people are commuting to all sorts of different areas from Bath, whilst there may not be much employment in Bath.
Now, anybody listening to you and thinking, I'd quite like to go and live there, what is the length of the train journey to London?
It's around 90 minutes, and they've got some relatively smart new Great Western trains. So it really is a painless commute and pretty reliable.
How many of your clients are commuters then?
We had a look at our current clients, and we think at the moment it's around 20%, but that does change all the time. But most of those will do a relatively short commute to London, 3, maybe 4 days a week, rather than a full week. I think 10, 15 years ago, people were doing a full week. I think now they'll probably work from home maybe Monday, Friday, and go up during the middle.
And are some people also commuting to Bristol or maybe even to Cardiff?
A lot of people to Bristol because there's a lot of employment there. A lot of the major banks and people like that have offices in Bristol, not to mention the aerospace industry amongst other things. So, yeah, there is a lot of people commute, and it's very easy by train. It's only 15 minutes into Temple Meads.
You're certainly selling it to us. The most sought-after addresses?
I think the most sought-after generally slightly dictated by the private schools, to be honest. So there's Lansdowne on the north side. The areas that have the larger detached houses, obviously most of Bath is terraced. So the number of detached houses is really quite small. So if you want a detached house with a decent amount of garden, you're looking at either Lansdowne, which is close to Kingswood School and the Royal High School, or Bathwick Hill, where there's some large Georgian villas. That's quite convenient for King Edward School or Prior Park School. And there's also Widcombe, which is commuterville because it's right next to the station. So there's a lot of people have moved into there. Probably in the last 15 years, it's completely transformed into a sort of mini London with new bars, new restaurants, and it's a little microcosm.
Are there any neighbourhoods on the up?
Probably those on the outskirts, so the sort of more suburban areas where you've got 1930s semis, Victorian houses, which are relatively more affordable than when you get into the Georgian properties in the centre. That's attracting young professional families. And they're certainly, as well as the ones where the good state schools, be they primary or secondary, those areas are going up significantly in value because people do want access to those schools.
Now, let's come to budget. How much money do you need for a two-bedroom flat and a four-bedroom house in the most expensive bits and in the up-and-coming bits?
I mean, it's a difficult one. In the centre of town, a two-bedroom flat is probably anything between about 450 and 650,000. Four-bedroom house, you could go up to a complete Georgian townhouse, 5-6 million, in one of the sort of picturesque crescents. As you get further out of town, you're probably looking at apartments between sort of 350 and 400, going up to sort of four-bed houses at sort of 1.2 million.
How many people are queuing up for houses? Have you got a lack of supply of stuff to sell to people?
There's always a lack of supply. There's it's always oversubscribed. We come across numerous families who've come down with a view to buying in Bath. They've gone into rented thinking that would be a temporary measure, and they're still there 3 or 4 years later because the right house just hasn't appeared. So it has a desperate shortage. And being a relatively small city, being a UNESCO World Heritage City, there's a limit on how much development can go on. So there's always going to be an oversubscription in terms of those looking for houses.
You have some development, though, along the river, don't you?
Yes. But that's mainly apartments and small townhouses. And it's not generally the kind of property people, particularly moving from London, envisage living in when they move to Bath.
So that's where the downsizers would go, would you say?
Downsizers. The apartments on the riverside are often bought by foreign students' parents. So there's a large number of those who, rather than pay rent for the time they're at the university, they'll buy an apartment and then they'll sell it at the end of their course.
So, Royal Crescent, the most glorious address seen in loads of dramas and films. What's the price of admission?
Well, looking at the prices, since 1995, there have been about 68 sales in the Crescent, ranging anything from 750 up to 4.65 million. So quite a divergence. There's not many whole houses left in the Crescent. I think there's around four or five. The rest mainly apartments, which range from studios to really quite large lateral apartments across a couple of buildings. So there's quite a diversity of properties within it. Locally in Bath, as a place to live, it's probably not the most popular Crescent with locals. If they want to buy, they probably buy Lansdowne Crescent, whereas Royal Crescent is seen as a bit more of a tourist spot.
We're talking about, in the rest of Britain, people bringing down their budgets in order to be able to afford either to send their child to a good private school or having money to set aside for tutoring to send them to a state school. Are you noticing that amongst the people who are asking to see properties?
We've certainly seen a narrowing of the budgets. I think what Dominic was saying about preparing for school fees and releasing equity is probably a factor, certainly within those who are moving down to the area. We do see a lot of people moving from London with the intention of going into the private school system, that when they find out how good the state schools are in Bath, they actually go down that route with a view to having four or five holidays a year instead of paying the fees. So you do get a lot of change from people when they find out how good they are.
Now, for anyone thinking of trying before they buy in Bath, if that is, they're ever able to buy, what's the level of rents? Say a two-bedroom flat?
Two-bedroom flat, you're probably looking at anything from 1,200 to sort of 2,000 a month. A sort of 3-4 bedroom family house, you won't get much less than 3,000 a month. And there's always a shortage. So the letting market in Bath is particularly strong.
So it's sought after in every single way.
It is. I mean, the only thing that's ever lacking is availability.
Well, thank you for that excursion to one of my favourite cities. But before we go, I'd like to ask a question of each of you. Dominic, how long is your commute? And would you be willing to be a long distance commuter?
Ah, so it's a very live conversation in my household. My commute is actually 45 minutes, which is fine. I quite enjoy it. I listen to a podcast, obviously the Winkworth podcast, and find myself in work before I know it. So I'm very happy with that. My wife actually works locally to where we live. And, you know, we talked about moving out and all those dilemmas as we have a small child. But really, the counter to that is that, you know, we're both work. And, you know, it's nice to be able to, maybe I'm not quite as quick getting home, but for her to be able to get home to do bath time and all those sort of joyous little things that if suddenly she had to travel to work, a significant distance would disappear. And so I think we're beholden to where we are for the years to come.
If push came to shove, you could almost walk to work, couldn't you? I mean, if you chose the right route.
Yes, exactly. I'm told that sometimes. I probably should.
Now, Matthew, do you walk, run or drive to the Winkworth office in Bath?
I drive, but only really because I need the car during the day. If I had an e-bike for a while, which was 5 minutes door to door, whereas by car, it's more like 35 minutes. So the traffic's pretty awful. And it's always good in Bath if you can just park the car and walk or cycle everywhere.
So if you had to walk, how long would it take?
It's about half an hour.
It really is a walking city.
It is a walking city. I mean, parking is at a premium because it's disastrous for traffic. You've got three bridges separating the north and south. So if one bridge is out of action for one reason or another, the city is in gridlock within about 10 minutes. So it's a place to avoid driving if you can.
Quite a hilly city, though.
It's a very hilly city. That is one problem.
But plenty of exercise. Truly, it is the ideal place. That's just about it, Dominic and Matthew. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. Thanks for your insights and thanks for the tour of Bath. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast.
This has been The Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.